You're listening to Red Nation Online.
You're listening to the North of 49 Soccer Podcast. Interviews, analysis, and discussion about Canadian soccer with hosts Chris Williams and Steve Watcher. All right, here we are back with another episode of the North of 49 Podcast. And, you know, what a week it's been in Canadian soccer. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Williams. Chris, how are you doing, and how are you keeping up with all the soccer and events in Canadian soccer?
I'll tell you what, Steve, my fitness isn't what it used to be. I'm out of breath here, just trying to keep track of all the games, who's playing who, and along with the Canadian Championship, I think it's fantastic, and we're well into the MLS season, and now we're down to two teams in the Amway Canadian Championship, so really looking forward to the weeks ahead, and even including the Canadian national team, men's and women's, you know, kicking off some action. So really looking forward to the weeks coming.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things coming up. One of the most exciting things for probably for you and I, and also for Toronto soccer fans, and it was a long time coming, was Toronto FC winning. They won last night in Toronto in the second leg of the Amway Canadian Championship, eliminating Montreal. And, you know, obviously a great thing to move on in the competition, but I think even outside of the competition, TFC really needed that win. How did you like that win, and how did you enjoy the game, Chris?
Well, the win was fantastic from a Toronto FC supporter standpoint, and from a Toronto FC, you know, if you're attached to the club, what a win it was. They needed that. I think going into the game, you know, both sides were under a little bit of pressure. I shouldn't say a little bit, a lot of pressure, just because, you know, the Montreal Impact with Joey Saputo as the president and owner of the club, he really wanted to, I believe, you know, really wanted to beat Toronto so they can position themselves back in the final. They've been successful in this Canadian Championship in the past, so I think the pressure was on Jesse Marsh and crew there. And now, again, Toronto FC, we all know what's going on with them in the MLS season. They haven't done as well as their counterparts, Montreal, in the league. And I think Aaron Vinter is feeling a lot of pressure. I mean, there's rumors of him leaving the club or just, you know, leaving his post as head coach and moving upstairs. Who knows what's going to happen there? But he's really given himself some breathing room, if he has any left, you know, moving forward. So, yeah, the game was really, I mean, it was cold, Steve. I don't know how you felt there, but it was a cold atmosphere in terms of the weather, and the fans stuck it out. But it's great to see when your team wins, you know, and, you know, you can celebrate, and that will keep you warm anyways. I'm not too sure if the Montreal supporters group, the Ultras, felt so warm after they left, but yeah, it was some great action, I thought.
Yeah, I'm wondering, how much do you think the pressure is off, given that the team still doesn't have a point in the MLS, and how important is it to follow up, you know, the win last night with strong performances against Vancouver and DC United in TFC's next two games?
Yeah, Steve, they really have pressure on them. You know, the last two games they've played, obviously we know that they've lost, and in the Canadian Championship, you know, playing in Montreal was really lackluster performance. So now stepping into these next two games, it's very important. It's crucial. It's crucial for their coach's career, you know, Aaron Vinter there feeling the pressure. And for some of these players, we're looking for contracts into the next season and, you know, really for playing time. Because if Aaron Vinter gets moved out, then, you know, these players will have even more pressure trying to perform not only for their supporters, but for their jobs.
Speaking of Aaron Vinter, what did he do right from a tactical standpoint? It seemed like that was one of TFC's, not a perfect performance, but a very complete performance. And, you know, a lineup of 11 players, at least for a few minutes, and then 10 players for the majority of the game that really seemed to work well together.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Steve, when you're playing a team sport like football is, it's just, you know, you need everybody to pull their weight. And I remember we had Adrian Cann on the show, and he was alluding to that. So I think in this match, TFC did have the players pulling their weight, and I think they really attacked, you know, Montreal from that standpoint. And once again, if your strongest player, you know, on the field is as strong as the player on the bench, then that says something. I don't know if that's the case in Toronto FC, with Toronto FC, but you know, they really made a strong performance in this match with
One thing I liked about the game was how solid and strong the Canadian players were. Adrian Can seemed to just do what Adrian Can always does. He was solid, and you know, did his job perfectly. We had Donnell Henry on the podcast not too long ago, and I thought he was fantastic. You know, we've both been calling for more playing time, and if he can play like he did yesterday, I think he could be a fixture in that lineup. And our guest today is actually another young TFC defender, Ashton Morgan. And I thought that that was probably his best defensive game that I've seen in his short career so far with Toronto FC. Julian de Guzman, again, you know, a fantastic game. You know, he didn't score goals. People are constantly talking about the goals, but he did all the little things. And, you know, I think he might even have been Toronto's best player over the full 90 minutes. So how did you like the Canadians and those players in particular, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, Ashton Morgan, he's a good young player. Again, I've been critical of him in maybe the first podcast when after they played LA and his defending, but I believe that you're right, that in terms of a defensive performance, that was probably his best performance this season so far. You know, going forward, Ashton Morgan, I think he needs to do more. I believe he can do more just because of his athleticism. That will come with time and confidence. On the ball, he'll get better. Some of his decision-making out from the back needs to be worked on. But again, Ashton Morgan has all the tools, all the capabilities to be a strong Canadian player. And these types of games, Ashton Morgan needs to play in, and he will. And it only stand him very well, you know, going forward, especially with the national team and wanting to get into that setup. So, yeah, Canadian standpoint, Julian de Guzman, we all know the story. People, some people are calling for his head, but I really believe that, you know, he'll ride this out and he'll play. He'll continue to play and be a strong competitor. So, no, I like that. I really, really like the Canadians in this match, and even Terry Dunfield got an appearance. Really looking forward to those players moving on this season and having strong performance for TFC, and hopefully they can get them out of the slammer or out of the basement, as they say.
There was a German player who played pretty well in that game as well. Wasn't a sure thing that Torsten Frings was even going to start that match, and maybe you know, a little bit of mind games by Aaron Vinter with playing coy as to his availability, you know, but he came out and he led that team, and I think sometimes he was the man playing completely up top, you know, furthest up the pitch. You know, what more can you say about Torsten Frings? I don't know if he was hurting in the shoulder or not, but you know, certainly he was a difference maker in that game.
Yeah, Torsten Frings, I think his shoulder injury has gone away. Even in the crowd there, I heard some fans saying, well, what position is he playing? You know, is he playing as a rover? He's roaming around the field. But I think Torsten Frings right now, Toronto FC depends on him heavily. Without him, they wouldn't pick as much as they did, especially last night. I really believe that he is the engine. And, yeah, Torsten Frings is quality. I mean, look at his playing background, his pedigree. He's played in so many matches in Europe and Champions League and whatnot, and you can't. I mean, how can you define that? What he brings to the table? He's a leader. He's the captain of the club, and they need him. So I really like his performance. I think he does the little things that are needed, the type of character things that are needed in the dressing room. I believe he has to stand out, and it shows on the field. Again, Aaron Vinter needs to employ his best players, and he does playing Torsten Frings, Julian de Guzman. You know, in that midfield, they need to play, and they need to play at the same time. And having said that, they need Danny Kuperman to come back, and hopefully looking forward to that happening.
One other big variable in that game for me was Plata, who returned to the starting 11. He didn't score, but, you know, he's got that forward motion, and he, you know, it just seems anytime he's in there, he keeps the opposition back on their heels, and TFC end up spending more time in the you know, opposition's end of the pitch rather than defending in their own. In that sense, if you know, on a great night with a victory where you can't really fault Aaron Vinter too much, I still don't like him subbing off Plata when they're trying to hold the lead. I think the best offense, the best defense is a good offense, and you can automatically see that once he came off, And I mean that no disrespect to Terry coming on in a more defensive role, but that was when Montreal seemed to then gain their chances just because there was no one really pushing TFC forward. So Montreal suddenly started to spend a lot of time in Toronto FC's end of the pitch. You know, what do you think of that, Chris? Vinter's often said that Platt is young and he's got to manage his minutes, but, you know, it's his second year now, and those are young legs. So what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that he's young and you know, he's got to earn his minutes and bide his time. I'm not a real big believer in that. I believe if a player has quality, he has quality, especially when you're talking about playing on the field. We're not talking about respect or, you know, having a good attitude and whatnot. Those things are expected. You know, you're signing a player to a club, to a team. You expect those things. So I don't buy that he's a young player. And that's an interesting perspective that you have there that, you know, he you don't like the substitution. I like the substitution. However, I think Montreal actually dictated play and the pace of the game because of their halftime substitutions. And we can get into that later. But, you know, really, João Plata was subbed off because Terry Dunfield is a little bit defensive-minded. And I almost agreed to you that, you know, best defense is played with a strong offense. And João Plata provides that. And I think that, you know, if you have certain players in the midfield, and no disrespect to Julian de Guzman and Torsten Friggs, that are a little bit lacking of pace compared to João Plata. Realistically, a lot of players would be lacking pace and when you compare it to João Plata. But it's fantastic to see. I think that when he plays and when they high-press other teams, you know, I really think that they get after him and really give themselves a chance. And I think that's where Montreal struggled. They struggled with that high pressure, and they couldn't deal with it, and it showed. It showed in the result.
Okay, well, as we've said, another young player who really impressed in that game was Toronto FC left back Ashton Morgan. And for our interview segment this week, I had a chance to speak to Ashton Morgan and get his thoughts on the win, the Canadian Championship, and also at the new Canadian Centenary kit that was unveiled by the CSA and Umbro, and of which he was one of the models. So, you know, let's cut right to that now, and here's my interview with Toronto FC's Ashton Morgan. So, Ashton, a huge win last night against Montreal. You know, after, you know, several weeks without a victory, just how big was that win for the team?
You know, it was a sign of relief. You know, I think a lot of guys could breathe now. You know, so a lot of stress and all the factors that were into play for the last 7 weeks, I think, are out the door. You know, so we got the first 3 points or for the moving on to the next round for the Canada Cup, which is really great. And I felt that the vibe and the whole atmosphere was great on the field, you know, from the first minute to the last minute.
Talk about the fans. Obviously, you know, the players have been frustrated, but mm-hmm. the fans have been frustrated as well. Supporters have been frustrated. You know, how has it felt in terms of the way that they've stood by the team and stood by you guys as players?
They've been great since from the first game till yesterday's game, you know, and I know it's been frustrating for them and also as well as for us, but I feel that yesterday, especially when we went to a man down early in the first half, they were our 11th man, 11th and 12th man, and they helped us out the whole way for the 90 minutes that we played, and it was great, and I applaud them, definitely, and hopefully we could do it again in Vancouver and when we come back home.
So yesterday you needed an extra man quite a bit after, you know, early in the game, Richard was playing fantastic, but yeah. Got called off with a red card.
Yeah.
I thought one of the most amazing things about the team's performance was just how well you guys did after that red card. You know, you just had Montreal pinned back, and I don't think they could get out of their end, and it was just chance after chance. You know, how did the team come together after that card and just play so well?
You know, we had a game plan from the beginning of the game, and we just stuck with it. You know, we didn't want to sit back and give them an opportunity to play. We just wanted to get in their faces, get stuck in, get our tackles in, be offensively strong, and just be, you know, we just wanted to win. The will to win was there, definitely. It was there for every single player on the pitch. We were all on the same page. It felt great, and it was great.
Heading into that match, it wasn't a sure thing that Torsten was going to play, but he played, and as usual, he played fantastic. How important was it to have him for that game and, you know, to have your captain?
Yeah, definitely. He's our captain. You know, he's part of the core. You know, him, Julian, and if it's Terry there, they're a core. And without Torsten there, you know, it's tough sometimes, but he's our captain. He led us to from the first minute once again and to the last.
You've had a lot of great performances in your you know, still short career with TFC. I thought yesterday might have been your best performance defensively. What were you, like, putting particular focus on, you know, defending and keeping that clean sheet?
100%. You know, I felt a good vibe, you know, from the whole squad, and I felt that someone else would get stuck. I'm like, I want to get one in too, you know, and it was just a I think the whole vibe was there through the whole squad. And yeah, we want to keep the zero and get the 3 points and move on to the next round, to the finals.
And speaking of a good defensive performance from a former TFC Academy player, Daniel Henry was fantastic yesterday, and I think matched you defensively. What are your thoughts on his performance? I know he's probably a friend as well as a teammate.
He's like my brother on the team, definitely he's been stepping up. He's been taking more of a leadership role, especially he's a play center back. It's a serious position to play, and especially on our team. And he's just every game you can see he's just getting more comfortable, more relaxed, and it's looking great. And when he plays well, I get a good vibe from him, and I start working hard for him as well.
So you're through. Montreal's been eliminated, mm-hmm. and you guys are going to the final. Looking at that final, Vancouver have a solid team this year, but at the same time, kind of similar to the league this year for you guys. It seems like they've got a little bit of a mental block, and they have some bad luck in the Canadian Championship. Yeah. Do you think that TFC holds any mental advantage over Vancouver in the next two games?
Definitely. We're the defending champs. They have something to prove. They're going to want to come out and beat us, but we're defending champs. We got to defend our title, and we're going to give them a hell of a game, definitely.
So the last few weeks have probably been extremely exhausting, and no TFC game this weekend. Mm-hmm. You guys have a week off. Obviously for the injured guys, that's a great thing, but for guys like yourself, how important is it to have a little bit of a mental break now?
It's good, a little time to reflect, on our previous games, and just focus on our Wednesday match, for the finals. And I think it's good for the guys, just we got a win, and we can relax with the win. And coming in next week, we're gonna be zipping and get back at it. We had the sense of the win, want to feel it again, and it's gonna be great.
How important was it to go into that little mini break with a win?
It's great because guys are confident now. We're gonna go into next week with a lot of confidence, and we're gonna be feeling good.
Yeah. And another one of your teammates, I know he's a veteran that a lot of the young guys look up to, Ryan Johnson. Mm. Was a little bit snake bitten in recent games, but one of the highlights for me last night was watching him get that goal. I don't think any player works harder. How important was it for him to score and to get going?
Yeah, definitely. Rigel got his goal, and you can see that he got the sniff of it again. He's going to be itching for a goal every game, and it's going to be picking up his confidence 100%, and he's going to be leading us at the top. He's a great guy up there.
And just interesting thing is, if you watch TFC over the last few years, you guys have done exceptionally well in the Canadian Championship, mm-hmm. and in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Right now you're struggling in the league. How do you take that form and that approach that you guys bring to those cup games and to MLS league fixtures?
I think it's just mentally, I think mentally we need to just focus on bringing what we bring into the Champions League and Canada Cup and just bring it to our league play. And I think if we do that, we're going to be a hard team to beat, definitely.
And one final question for you. I'm speaking to you here at BMO at the rollout of the centenary kit by Umbro and the CSA. You're here all in blue. I think, a little bit decked out like your idol, Ashley Cole.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you like the kit?
I'm actually really enjoying it. It's nice and classy. And, I know it's blue, but we still have the red flag all over. So it's great. And I really enjoy it too.
All right, we're back with the North of 49 podcast. And Chris, some interesting comments from Ashton Morgan there. Looking at that at Montreal's performance against TFC in the Canadian Championship, you already alluded to a couple of lineup decisions that Jesse Marsh made that may not have turned out the way he had hoped. And I do think that as I watched that game from the beginning, it seemed like they were missing Felipe in the midfield. And Justin Mapp is sort of someone who really pushes the offense, not in the exact same way, but in a similar way as Plata does for Toronto FC. They did look better when those players came on. There could be injury concerns or whatnot, but should those two players have been in the starting lineup?
Yeah, I think those two players that you mentioned should have started the match. And as you're talking there and thinking back to the game, from the whistle, from the first whistle, I believe that Toronto FC dictated the pace. I don't think that Montreal stood a chance when I really think about it. I think Jesse Marsh calculated this one incorrectly. He probably thought that he's playing Kansas City. They went into their last league play against Kansas City. They played a 4-5-1, I believe, and really sat in and allowed Kansas City. Just they invited them, and then they actually started to pressure them higher up the field, later in the match. So. But with Toronto FC, I almost think that Jesse Marsh respected Toronto a little bit too much in terms of their back line. I think that Toronto's back line that, you know, in those types of matches, you know, it's do or die, and Jesse Marsh got that wrong. He needs to go after Toronto FC's back line and really put them under pressure, because Toronto FC, I mean, let's face it, they're lacking confidence. They're struggling in league play, and those players played in the Canadian Championship, you know, on Wednesday night, not feeling, you know, all that confident. Yes, they're fired up to play. Yes, they want to win, but, you know, confidence is a fickle thing. You know, a player can lose confidence the drop of a dime. So I think Jesse Marsh got that right in terms of his approach to Toronto FC's, you know, backline and tactics.
That's interesting. You know, there's always a different dynamic to those two-leg series, and Montreal did come into that game with the advantage, knowing that a draw of any sort was going to get them through to the final against what we were all expecting was going to be Vancouver. You know, before Felipe came on, and he's really the engine in their midfield, and before Map came on, you know, as that offensive threat and someone who can both function as a playmaker and also, you know, get off a shot of his own from dangerous positions. Montreal's offense seemed to look a little bit the way it did in the first few games of the season. Again, you know, Toronto FC played a good game, but you know, I'm wondering if Jesse Marsh maybe putting too much emphasis on trying to go for the draw in this game. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know what he was thinking, if he was thinking about going for the draw. When I look at the lineup and when I think about those players like Felipe, Justin Mapp, you need, and Niasse, you need those players in the lineup to win games. They affect change in the game at key moments, and Felipe is the engine in terms of, you know, dictating the pace of the game going forward. So if you don't have him in there, does Patrice Bernier have that within him to do so? And I'm not too sure. He's a different type of player. So Justin Mapp, he gets after players. You can see when he was in there, he threatened Toronto FC's defense. And whenever you have a player like that, you need to play him, especially in a match, like I say, do or die. You're coming in. Jesse Marsh should not have come into that match looking to draw. He should have come into that match looking to really put the pressure on TFC and win the game. And I think that's where he made his mistake. And often something, you know, I've learned from my playing days that, you know, when a coach says maybe we'll sit in, we'll invite them to play, some players read that and say, you know, maybe he means just low pressure. We're not really going to play that hard. And it just translates in a certain way, and players read that. And it could be contrasting and conflicting to them. So maybe that was the case. I'm not too sure. But it just looked that Montreal wasn't going to win the game from the first whistle, in my opinion.
Well, Montreal will move on for that. And, you know, Jesse Marsh is a smart man and a smart coach. So, you know, I have no doubt that that they'll bounce back and make the adjustments they need to in their upcoming matches. And if the team didn't have, you know, a lot of offensive bite last night against TFC, it looks like there could be something on the horizon that could rectify that. Marco Di Vaio from the Serie A, one of the top strikers in Italy. There are reports everywhere that, you know, he's pretty close to coming to the MLS and joining the Montreal Impact. It's not a done deal yet, but I'm thinking that most people are expecting it to happen. And, you know, Chris, you probably read some of those reports. How smart of Montreal being to wait for the right DP? And is Di Vaio the player who could take Montreal over the top and into the MLS playoffs?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there are a lot of reports, a lot of people buzzing around and saying that Di Vaio is on his way to Montreal. I'm not too sure. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I think you said something there. I mean, he could be that player. I mean, I don't know how well I like Montreal's offense. I think they have some key players that can, you know, change the game at certain times. But, you know, I think they need that Di Vaio-esque player to take them into the playoffs, and maybe so. I mean, maybe he is that player that spark, because, I mean, I think of Felipe, I think of Karate up front. They need another player if they want to compete with the upper echelon of MLS. And again, if Jesse Marsh employs tactics and the mentality to go after teams for, you know, most of the duration of a game, then I think they could, you know, score goals and threaten back lines of teams. So I think that Di Vaio is the sort of player that they're looking for. Maybe he has the charisma and the type of personality that they need in Montreal to really show off their DP, his DP status. So I hope so. From a Canadian, you know, fan perspective, I hope that Montreal can make the playoffs in their first year. It would be fantastic. I think, for that organization and be fantastic to watch. So hopefully Davila is that player, and Saputo and crew can get that right, because I think it would be fantastic for that club and that city.
With Montreal being in the playoff hunt, you know, it's only, you know, only the next day after being eliminated for the Canadian Championship. But I'm wondering if there is some silver lining there. We have seen, you know, Toronto FC struggle pretty much throughout their existence whenever they try to compete in two competitions at the same time. And that's not limited to Toronto FC. That happens with the U.S.-based MLS clubs as well. Does this now, you know, focus Montreal purely on the playoffs and give them a better chance of making the MLS playoffs now that, you know, they don't have CONCACAF, they don't have the Canadian Championship to, you know, test their depth?
I agree. I agree from the standpoint of, yes, they only have one competition to focus on, and that's league play. And I think that's important for them because, you know it. I mean, you see it with Toronto FC. They struggle when you have, you know, you get deep into the CONCACAF Champions League and you have to juggle a lineup and you have to deal with injuries and just players, you know, fatigue and whatnot. So I think Montreal, Jesse Marsh, yes, there's a silver lining, but I also think there's a little bit of pressure from a club standpoint. Montreal's moving into their stadium, and I'm not too sure of the date, but, you know, they really wanted to have an impact. Sorry, excuse the pun there, but with the fans and be in the competition like the Champions League, where they could possibly and potentially move forward and be successful once again as an organization. Fans are familiar with Montreal's success in the past in the CONCACAF Champions League. So, yeah, there's a silver lining definitely in terms of Jesse Marsh and his club and his team's, you know, performances moving forward, because the focus needs to be there, and it will be there because they'll only be focusing in on MLS play.
I do still like what I've seen from the team overall. And in the league, they're coming off a win over Sporting Kansas City at Livestrong Sporting Park in Kansas City. Not many teams achieve that. And, you know, that was their first road win. So, again, another sort of, you know, thing that they can build on. You know, they keep having all these firsts, the first goal, the first point, the first victory. And now they've got the first home win. And, you know, given the fact that they won against Sporting Kansas City, does that improve their chances in their next match against the Los Angeles Galaxy in your eyes, Chris?
Definitely. Well, especially because the Los Angeles Galaxy's performance has been lackluster. They haven't been firing on all cylinders as they should with those players there. So, Montreal, it's, again, the players, if they buy into Jesse Marsh's system and tactics and mentality, you know, as a team, and they stay as a tight unit, they can, you know, beat LA, especially, you know, showing that type of performance against Sporting Kansas City. That's a strong team there in MLS and Sporting KC. So, again, Jesse Marsh, I believe he got the tactics right in the KC match. It's going to be interesting because, you know, as we can see with slumps playing at home and on the road, teams can be affected by those things and travel and whatnot, which are all excuses, of course. But, you know, being at home, I think Montreal really, they can't sit back. I think they should, from the first whistle, go after L.A. And not worry about David Beckham and crew and really worry about what's going to happen, you know, during the game or prior to the game, not listen to the media. They need to go in and get the tactics right, listen to Jesse Marsh, and play. And I think put pressure on a team that's struggling at the moment in the Galaxy.
Let's move on to chatting about the Whitecaps. Vancouver, as expected, had no problems eliminating FC Edmonton from the Canadian Championship with their second game at home featuring a large number of players who don't usually feature in the Whitecaps starting 11. Vancouver's depth looks like it is serving the team very well. And, you know, especially looking at the back four, you know, yesterday against Edmonton, only Jay Demerit started from what you would consider, you know, Martin Rennie's top choice back four. I'm wondering, you made an interesting comment with Toronto FC several times on the podcast over the last few weeks about how Aaron Vinter has to, you know, ride and go with his top players. You know, we've seen a lot of rotation from Vancouver, and they do have a lot of depth, but I'm wondering, at some point, does Vancouver need to start going with their best players week in, week out?
Yeah, Steve, it's a great question. I think Martin Rennie, not that he'll run into trouble, but in the near future, but down the road, maybe he might. It's possible, just because I think at the end of the day, you have to play your best players, and you have to play those players who are in form. And if it's Darren Maddux, you know, and he's in form, then he should be playing. In terms of loyalty, I mean, we don't worry about that. What we worry about as players, you know, as coaches, as clubs, I mean, you need to win. And at the end of the day, Martin Rennie, yes, he has a rotation. Yes, he has a great relationship with his players. But players are human, and some of them will be unhappy. But they also have to deal with that as well. So I believe, I mean, you look at Kimiento, you look at Hasley there. They weren't playing in the last few games. They played in the Canadian Championship here. And I think even, you know, I look at a player like Kimiento, in my eyes, in my opinion, it's like he's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. And I said a few weeks ago that Vancouver, they needed a spark. They needed that little bit of flavor, that little bit of spice in terms of a Kimiento-type player. And I think from the last couple of games that I've seen him, he's really performed well. So I think Martin Rennie should monitor that. I'm sure he has. I'm sure he will do.
In the league, the Whitecaps are coming off what some people are calling one of the most thrilling victories in the MLS franchise history, with a big win over San Jose. In that match, Eric Hasley scored the winner in injury time. Once again, you know, it's easy to look at that match as one that they probably would have lost or drawn last season. So again, you know, the evolution clearly shows in that result. The question I wanted to ask you was, you know, I've always thought over, you know, the last year and a half that Eric Hasley is one of the most talented players in the MLS. And a prototypical designated player. Chris, do you think with you know, a goal in the Canadian Championship and that big goal against San Jose, is Eric Hasley back? And if so, you know, what does that mean for Vancouver's upcoming opponents? They pretty much have achieved an impressive start to the season without Eric Hasley contributing that much in those early matches.
Well, what I think is, I don't think that he's back yet. I still think he's off, especially from his last year's productivity and his performances. What a presence he has when he plays. Teams worry about him when he's on the field. And in terms of the opponents, if Eric Hasley's in form, then look out, because Vancouver will be successful and be, you know, the creative team that they are, and they'll cause a lot of problems for defenders. I mean, just if you just think about the size that he has and the creativity, the skill, and he has a great communication with Latou and Kimiento, I think, and Camilo, I think that offense there, I mean, when they're firing on all cylinders, they're just about the best in the league in MLS. So it's a scary thought, because he's not back yet, Steve. But when he is, he'll be scoring goals, he'll be creating for the team. And again, I mean, again, I said that Kimiento and Hasley have a great friendship off the field and on the field. You can see it in Hasley's goal there. Yes, he got a little bit lucky off that deflection, but no, I think that if Martin Rennie employs them more and uses them more, then I think they'll be successful and score a boatload of goals moving forward. So I'm looking forward to watching some of that creative football that I like to see.
Vancouver's next match is against New England on the road. You know, we all know it's a truism that it's hard to win in the MLS, but New England isn't a top team, and, you know, the majority of Vancouver's, you know, call it their top starting 11, were rested for that last game, so it should be fresh for that match. If Vancouver is going to break through and qualify for the playoffs, is this the type of game they need to win, even though it is on the road?
Yeah, I mean, on the road or at home, I think that Vancouver will go into New England and compete and actually win the match. I think similar to the Columbus game, they probably may sit in a little bit, but if I was Martin Rennie, I wouldn't. I would play, you know, Kimiento, I would play Latou and Hasley, and really get after New England. I don't think New England's back line can keep up with them. And the midfield, even though New England has some strong players and Shalvey Joseph and Sims there, but I just don't think that they can keep up with Vancouver's midfield of Kofi, Davidson, and Watson there. I think that Vancouver has the stronger players, and I don't think there's anybody to fear on New England, you know, from Vancouver's standpoint. They can definitely handle Sirisena up front, but who knows? New England has, you know, some quality players there. Not to knock them, but I just find that the quality overall, Vancouver
Looking ahead to the Canadian Championship Final, which will kick off next week, you know, we'll talk about that more on the next North of 49 podcast. But I wanted to get your early thoughts on you know, Toronto FC versus Vancouver. Clearly, one team is doing better in the league, but at the same time, you know, through the short history of you know, of the competition, Vancouver has you know, been unlucky or just hasn't been able to break through and win that competition, and you know, TFC have tended to own that competition. I wonder if there's sort of a little bit of a mental barrier there, kind of like there used to be with Ottawa and Toronto in the NHL playoffs a few years back, when Ottawa was always finishing higher in the standings, but Toronto were the ones that were beating them when they met head to head in the NHL playoffs. You know, what do you expect from Toronto FC versus Vancouver in the Canadian Championship Final?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that match. I think it'll be a great contest. However, I don't think that Toronto FC can handle Vancouver. But again, it depends on who's available for Vancouver at the time. I just look at Toronto FC's attack, and I think that Vancouver is well organized, and they'll be ready for Toronto's onslaught, if you want to call it that. Again, it depends on where Toronto is in their season, if how they're doing, if they're coming off a loss or a couple of losses. But I look forward to that match just because, again, it's Toronto versus Vancouver, huge rivalry, and as you said, Vancouver hasn't won, and I know they've acquired players, they've acquired a coaching staff to get them into these types of situations and into the CONCACAF Champions League and to be successful there. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm sure you are, Steve. And it'd be interesting to see how many travelers, how many fans actually travel from Vancouver and vice versa. So we'll see. Looking forward to that.
Well, Toronto will enter that first leg coming off a win. They have this weekend off, and they have a week to prepare for that game. You know, having a lot of time off sometimes ends up with a team being rusty, or it ends up being you know, the best medicine for a beat up team. Do you think Toronto is going to benefit from having that week off now, and you know, having a whole week to prepare for Vancouver, whereas Vancouver is going to have that New England game there in the middle?
Well, I think it works out to Toronto's advantage there in terms of just, yeah, I think they need a break. They've been getting hammered, and you know that, everybody knows it. Their confidence has been hammered. They're feeling very low as a team, and you can see it in their demeanor. No, in terms of Vancouver, their depth will carry them through. That's why I think both teams will be ready to play. As I said, maybe Toronto FC has a little bit of advantage just because of the rest period that they'll have. But it's a great match to watch. I can't wait for it. And it'll be interesting to see the media coverage as well, just to see how far we've come and see if it has progressed any further going into this final of the Canadian Championship.
Okay. I want to finish off with something a little bit different. Umbro Canada and the Canadian Soccer Association have just released the new kits for Canada to wear at the centenary match against the United States and the Canadian Women's National Team. It's a different look, that's for sure. It's a blue jersey with white shorts, but you know, I can't say I hate it, and I think it's a nice change for one game. It certainly looked good on the photos that I saw of Simeon Jackson wearing it. And, you know, I had a chance to see Ashton Morgan, Donnell Henry, Kara Lang, and Jim Brennan all mullet, and they all looked pretty sharp in it as well. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of your soccer knowledge and expertise over the last several weeks. But, you know, you are a very well-rounded person, Chris. And, you know, as I've come to know you, I've learned that you also have an interest in fashion. So I thought it would be good to end off today by getting your thoughts on Canada's centenary kit. What do you think?
You've really taken a spin here. You're probably alluding to the fact that I made a comment on the score about the Devil Wears Prada and my interest in fashion. Yeah, I like the uniforms. It's a change, right? And I'm a player, and I just think that, you know, with this change, hopefully the players can play and meet that type of standard, because I like the kit. I mean, it looks fashionable. I think Umbro's done a good job there with the blue and white again, and the maple leaf crest is on it, on the chest. So hopefully those players can wear it with pride. I'm sure they will. And, I mean, I'm not too sure about the material, Steve, but, no, I like it. I really think it's a good mix, and it's change, and change is always good. So hopefully for that Centenary kit that they can get a win in that match moving forward, and both on the men's and women's side.
Yeah, that obviously that's the most important thing. You know, I've heard some people say they don't care what they wear as long as they win. So,
yes. You
know, I guess that's the right approach to take. But you know, fashion is fun as well. So you know, it'll be nice to see them coming out in something fresh. And you know, I think it's exciting. So that's pretty much all for this week on the North of 49. We are a little bit late this week, so I guess we'll be a little bit early for the next one, and we'll talk more about the Canadian Championship and upcoming matches for the Canadian MLS teams. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back soon. Thank you. We'll be right back.